Hey guys, so out of respect for everything that's been going on across the states, Carter and I took a break from the podcast. But as we return, we really felt it was necessary to address the situation on the platform that we've created for ourselves. Carter was going to be part of this. We just wrapped up the podcast and unfortunately had a bit of a parenting emergency, but he gave me the go-ahead to kind of speak on behalf of the two of us. The reality is that Black America has been living with a looming threat of police brutality and racial inequality for far too long. As I reflected over the last couple weeks, the fact that this is an issue that's undoubtedly impacted so many of our listeners, athletes we cover, and guests on the podcast, it's really weighed heavily on me. I just want to ask everybody to not get suckered into thinking this is a political issue. This is a human issue that's been going on for decades. At this point, you either stand in opposition of police brutality and racial inequality or for it, either directly or by being complicit. We can't stand on the sidelines any longer. It's easy to say that this is a systemic issue that's disproportionately impacting the Black community. But by saying that, it's a way to dehumanize it. These are acts done by people to people. And those people are your coworkers, they're your friends, family, neighbors. Making a difference can seem insurmountable, but that's no reason to sit on the sideline. We all need to evaluate the way our biases have got in the way in the past or moments when we were silent instead of speaking up. I just encourage everybody to take an active role in trying to change a culture of inequality. The system isn't broken. It's doing exactly what it was designed to do, and we all have a role in changing that. Carter and I enjoy being a podcast where you guys can have a distraction and enjoy listening to the Cavs and the NBA through our wine and gold colored glasses, as we like to say. But the reality is some people don't have the luxury of that distraction. And I just really encourage you guys to just evaluate what role you can play and to not stand on the sidelines anymore. This is something that goes beyond just America. We've been having protests here in Winnipeg and across Canada and evaluating our own issues. There's always room to grow. There's always room to get better. And I don't think that this should be something that's polarizing. Equality is something we should all strive towards. So hope you guys enjoy the podcast. I just felt that it was really important to address these issues.
Hey there. My name is Ricky Smith, and I'm the founder of Random Acts of Kindness Everywhere. A nonprofit that simply does exactly what it says, promote kindness everywhere. We know the world is crazy right now. If you are searching for a podcast that has a deeper conversation about race, my co-host Angel Gray and I will be discussing everything going on right now on our podcast, Random Acts of Podcast on Blue Wire Podcast Network. To find out more, go to rakenow.org. Enjoy the show.
Blue Wire.
It's over! Cleveland is a city of champions once again!
The Cleveland Cavaliers select Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
Here comes Sexton. Some rhythm.
And he got it! Young Ball continues to wear him out!
Do you know what the Cavs fans are calling the Darius Garland, Colin Sexton backcourt?
What?
Sexland.
Oh, that's good.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Rohn. We are back, even though the Cleveland Cavaliers are not. Their season is officially over. The NBA has decided to go with 22 teams for their Disney World relaunch. But that's okay. Nine-month offseason is just great. That's exactly what I wanted for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Joining me today to talk about everything going on is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
It's going well, man. Not the best climate in the world right now, and between Corona and protests. But you know, I think we're all kind of soldiering through, and let's get ready to talk some basketball.
It's a wild ass time. Today, I put in a vote to find out, basically my union's voting to see if I get laid off on Friday, along with 500 other people. So we will see what happens there.
Prayers up for Justin.
It's fun times all around, but joining us today, I'm really excited to have our buddy Chops back on the podcast. Chops, the last time you came on, you had just launched the Load Management Podcast. You had a great pod with Allen Iverson. And since that time, it has become one of my absolute favorite listens. You guys get amazing guests. Everybody go check out the most recent podcast they did with Shams. Chops, how's it going, buddy?
What up, y'all? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I really enjoyed the podcast with Shams. One thing you kind of dropped in there that was hurtful, and I actually want to start with it.
Let's talk about it. Everybody go listen, by the way. It's on Apple.
Yeah, I don't want to give too much away because you still want to check that out.
I think I tweeted the whole thing out. So I tweeted every quote out.
You guys aggregated it, and then it got aggregated by everyone, which is the right way to go.
Well, that's the cheat code. That's how we do it, because these sites, not to get too deep in the weeds, but they only look at Google Trends, I think. So when something pops up on Google Trends, that's how stuff gets aggregated for us. It's like a little cheat code I found.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, when stuff gets aggregated for us, that's what we do too.
Yeah, when us big time Chase Down podcasts always getting aggregated. But
favorite Cleveland basketball podcast, I will say that.
Oh, thank you.
Now that's high praise. But you mentioned that you talked to CJ McCollum about playing in Cleveland, and he basically said he wanted no part of it. And I found that a little bit hurtful.
So that was like our second podcast that we did in quarantine, and we hadn't figured out to just do all of these on Zoom. Mm-hmm. So we were talking to CJ on the phone. We couldn't see him. It's probably my least favorite podcast we've done because we couldn't see him, and I had no feel for the whole interview. So we're just trying to bounce stuff on him. CJ's a very smart guy. He's very calculated. It was fine. At the
imagine
end,
not being able to see one of the people.
Yeah, right. I can't see Carter. I can't see Carter right now, so I have no idea if he's like just hates this whole thing. So CJ's, I forget how it came up. We were talking about the Love thing. I was like, "Oh, you know, Cavs fans love to trade you for Kevin Love. Let's just do it sometime." Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Nah, I'm good. I'm good."
Yeah. Which is very shocking that an NBA player doesn't want to say on a podcast that he wants to be traded.
I was like, come home. And he's like, that's not home. I'm like, that's disrespectful. Like, it's not that far. Like, geez.
It's both understandable and very hurtful. But
wait, where is he from? Is he an Akron kid?
Canton. Like, Canton. I mean,
come on.
I mean, if LeBron said that, I would cry probably. That would be the most like hurtful thing I've ever heard. Like,
well, LeBron kind of said that after the decision. Right? Yeah.
No, that doesn't count though. Like, we all said things.
True.
I don't count that. CJ saying that to my face. Not really though. If I would have been able to see him, I still maintain he would have been like, yes, I'll do it. He would
have been like, I mean, you'd really be selling it with the eyes, which is where
exactly.
That's where the action all happens. But Portland is going to be one of those teams among the 22 that will be resuming the season in, I guess, the end of July. Some of the details still seem like they're trying to iron that stuff out. Right before we recorded, Woj was talking about some of the players having some trepidation. And basically, if you have a medical reason for not being there, or if you're just not comfortable with it, you're not going to be penalized, which I think makes sense. This is going to be a tough situation, and it's going to be interesting to see one who's participating. Cause you look even at the Lakers, JaVale McGee's got asthma and maybe mm-hmm. that's something that he's going to be factoring in. But Chops, what are your thoughts on this format that the NBA is going ahead with?
Didn't JaVale say is he one of the guys for the Lakers that tested positive, or no? Am I totally making that up? Two Lakers tested positive. I thought maybe, no, maybe not. I don't know.
I don't remember if it was ever made
public. Announced. They were the ones that weren't made public.
Reckless speculation.
That's not reckless. That's not reckless. Chill out. Okay. I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be interesting. And I actually have a take that I think it's going to be harder for everybody wants to talk about the asterisks and everything. I think it might be harder for these teams to go through and win this title than like titles in the past. Mm-hmm. So I don't think like we should discount anybody because obviously home court advantage is a big thing. Being like secluded in one place, like nonstop for 3 months is going to be like mentally like for real. I think it's going to be like a kind of a mental hurdle, you know?
No, what I actually thought of today, do you remember a couple of years ago, the Dwight Harden Rockets when they were in the first round and they just wanted to go home. And I think Harden hit a game winner and the entire bench was just dejected because they had to push their travel plans back 2 days. Yeah. I wonder who's going to be the first player that's like, I can't go to strip clubs right now. I want to go home.
When Woj tweeted that was kind of like my first thought was, I bet some guys are just so out of shape they don't want to play. Like when we had Andre Drummond on the pod, he, not to put words in his mouth, but it didn't really sound like he wanted to come back, you know? Mm-hmm. Like Colin Sexton said he wanted to come back, and I believe him because Colin just wants to play basketball.
Yeah. All he's doing right now is pushing cars uphill on IG Live.
Right.
It's so funny to see the contrast between the two because Drummond's kind of doing his thing. He's having a good time. And then you have Sexton just working out. Finally, Darius Garland, we're getting a lot of really fun highlight reels that I'm just living off right now. And I think we'll have to be living off those for a long time. But yeah, I think that's a valid point that, I mean, a lot of guys didn't even have access to a gym or a way to stay in shape, right?
What if you're out of shape right now? Like, you could get embarrassed when you come back if you're out. You know, like, it could be, like, I'm not saying the guys don't have legit medical issues and anybody with medical issues shouldn't go. Like for real, just don't go. But I could see the case where maybe some guys weren't working. No, not everybody's Mike Conley and has a gym in their house. You know, like, he's going to be ready, but, like, it's not going to be the same thing, like where guys weren't able to work out. I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, I'm going to watch. I'm kind of surprised I've seen people say they're not going to watch.
That's the craziest thing to me. I don't know about you guys, but I'm still working from home. And in order to get a lot of those regular season games in, it's going to be all day basketball. It's going to be like March Madness. I'm going to have that on all the time.
Go ahead, Carter. My bad.
Yeah, I certainly can't wait. One thing that I thought was interesting that you just brought up, Chop, is talking about how the road is going to be harder and the, you know, we're talking about the asterisk. I actually was thinking about this, and doesn't a little part of you want this to go chalk so we don't have the this is just a bullshit result conversation? Yeah. Like, if it ends up being Lakers Bucks in the finals and the Lakers win in six or something like that, like, okay, like that feels normal. That feels right. But the more outlier weird stuff that happens, the more likely it is that the discourse is going to be brutal, which I feel like this podcast is like 30% about basketball and 70% about the discourse.
That's true.
We gotta chill, but I can't help it.
So what team is the cutoff for calling it reasonably, like if the Sixers won at all, are we saying that they like what's the cutoff here of saying it's legitimate and not legitimate? Because Carter, that's a good point that a lot of people brought up. I think Ben Axelrod was like, yo, if the eighth seed wins at all, we're not going to think this was legitimate. Like it wasn't a fair fight. So what is the team that we're like, okay, this is enough?
Doesn't it kind of depend on how much we like their star player? Like, I feel like,
well, you're about to say the Celtics, I thought would be the cutoff. Like, if the Celtics won, illegitimate.
Yeah. Well, like if Utah or Houston wins, I mean, I don't even.
The Heat. That is the correct answer.
The Miami Heat.
Oh, if Houston won, I'd call it legitimate. If Houston won, I'd be like, okay, they have Russ, they have Harden.
Well, we all hate them, so
it's. Yeah.
I don't hate them.
Well, Houston, you have the argument that if this was normal conditions, Harden would be going out the night before game. So, like, this is, like, a forced exactly what he's needed to do forever. The funny thing to me is that people are trying to determine whether or not there's an asterisk on this season already. When don't we have to kind of wait to see what happens? Don't we need to see if all this time off leads to a bunch of injuries that swings the title or if a team gets decimated with coronavirus? Like, we don't know if this is going to be like a Warriors 2015 title where everyone dropped dead along the way.
Doesn't that title prove that we don't asterisk?
That, and I love that we can compare that title team to this upcoming NBA playoffs.
I mean, isn't that really the most ridiculous? Isn't that the most ridiculous way where every single round you have one of the best players from each team that goes missing? I feel like that's the worst case scenario with the virus.
I think if Bron and the Lakers don't win, the asterisk talk will come up very loudly.
Yeah.
I think Lakers fans, especially if it's the Clippers, say the Clippers win it all. Kawhi's had 3 months off. You would think that Kawhi is going to now be able to get into super Kawhi mode in the playoffs. and Paul George just is had time to get healthy.
If Bron
doesn't do it, I think that the Lakers fans will be very vocal about how it didn't count.
Yeah, I agree. And if Kawhi does win this one, he might have the weirdest path to three championships ever. Because you look at that Spurs year, and he absolutely stepped up later in that series, and he was a very good player.
But he was the fourth best player on the team.
Right.
And he blew the year before. That's the thing.
Yeah, like, and he had scored, I think it was like 10 or 12 points in the first two games. Like, it threw three, four games in that series. People were talking about, oh, well, maybe Danny Green's going to get finals MVP, and then he ended up getting it done. But then you have the Toronto run, which was very impressive individually, but you do have the qualifier, what happened to the Warriors. And then for this playoff
run. And by the way, not only what happened to the Warriors, what could have happened if he missed that shot against the Sixers in game 7.
True.
Yeah. True. There's a lot of randomness in Kawhi's career.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing Shams talked about was, because I was like, why didn't anybody tweet about, no one wanted to say anything about Kawhi until like you guys knew. And mm-hmm. Shams was like, yo, on the third and fourth, we all thought he was going to the Lakers.
Right.
The Lakers were telling people that he's going to Lakers. So it's just, no one knows about Kawhi. He's so mysterious. And like, his career trajectory builds into that mystery. So, like, imagine his third title and third finals MVP comes off a pandemic season in Orlando, Florida, you know, like at the Walt Disney World.
It'd be absolutely wild. And it is going to be interesting. So, a report came out today that Luka Doncic isn't in shape. Apparently, Jokic is in shape.
Luka's not in shape? I saw the Jokic one. I didn't see the Luka one.
Yeah, Luka's apparently overweight.
What is in shape for Jokic?
Yeah, like, what's the qualifier there?
Apparently, you can see abdominal muscles on Jokic. I don't know if
Is that a report?
Yes.
I saw Wendy talking about it. I saw Windhurst talking about it.
And apparently.
Oh, my God.
So if you can see ab muscles, I need to know, is his nose still running and is his arms bleeding? Because that guy's arms are bleeding all the time, and I don't know what the deal is with it.
Well, he's the first player to ever win a title with a perpetual sinus infection if he pulls it off.
It's wild.
Denver's my team, by the way, where if they win it, I'm going to be like, none of this counts. This doesn't count. I know you're probably sad about that because the Canadian ties. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Jamal Murray getting a chip. No, that would definitely be weird. I feel like everybody collectively, just because nobody has strong feelings about Denver one way or another. And I feel like that's so much of determining how people feel about a champion. Because if you have people that, let's say, even strongly hate against one team, you're going to have people that just out of reflex are going to defend them and prop them up. So because people are so indifferent about Denver, I can definitely see that being the one where nobody really factors it in. It is crazy that Gobert was the host virus instead of Jokic, because looking at Jokic, nobody would want to touch him in this restarted season with his nose always running.
Jokic just looks like he's, you know, could have some kind of illness.
Jesus.
we're getting wild here.
Yeah, can you guys calm down?
So what do you think, though, of the way that the NBA selected the teams that are going to participate?
Did you guys see the fantasy draft we did where we added one player from the 8 teams that didn't make it onto the 22 that made it? They should do that. Why not?
Yes, that would be a lot of fun. I'm still shaking my head that Zion didn't pick Curry number one. I don't know what's happening there.
He's like, it wouldn't fit on the Wizards. I'm like, it's Steph Curry. What do you mean it wouldn't fit on the Wizards? What are you talking about? It's like Kat's great, and like adding Kat to the Wizards would be fun, but like, and you know what sucked? Adding, and Zavac got on me he's like, Tristan fell too low, and why did you put him on the Celtics? TT's a perfect fit for the Celtics.
Great Celtic center.
Yeah. Yeah, he would be an absolutely perfect fit. I mean, Tristan would help out a lot of teams. And I'm still not mentally prepared for Tristan to be on another team.
Don't tell Cavs Twitter that, because my mentions are still cooked from saying we should retire his jersey.
You know what? I wonder how much of that, because you have a real wide following, I wonder how much of that is just NBA fans that don't get it.
I don't, though. Like, you would think, and I still, my core following is still Cleveland. It is.
Yeah, right.
Like my most engaged people are still Cleveland, and, like, they'll come in for wide following. It was a lot of Cavs people saying, what, like, no way. And then Ken and Lima went on air with Howard Beck, and they all agreed. Howard Beck laughed about it, actually. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's not that laughable if you look at Tristan's body of work with the Cavs.
And also look at the jerseys they have retired.
Nate Thurmond. RIP Nate Thurmond.
Right.
Nate Thurmond, Ken brought it up. He went on one of the 92.3 shows and was like, I have no idea why they retired my jersey. Like, he said that. I couldn't find the audio. I want to listen to it. But he did an interview and was like, your guess is as good as mine. Like, mm-hmm. retire his jersey. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, no. there's a long history of like, first off, I never understand why jersey retirements are a national narrative ever.
No.
Like, who gives a shit other than the host city?
People and, do. People get into it. It's weird. It's
and
weird.
It's like, I don't really care if a Wizards fan thinks the Cavs should retire Tristan's jersey or not. I remember that happened when they retired Big Z's jersey, and it was like, the bar for a jersey retirement is the fan base really, really loved it.
Toronto has a banner hanging for Bon Jovi. Like,
why do the Raptors have a Bon Jovi banner?
I don't know. You know, they had a night they needed to promote. there's no rhyme or reason.
The Nets have Jay-Z's jersey hanging from the Raptors. He's not even.
Who is it that? Who has Jordan's jersey retired?
The Heat. Miami. Of course, the Heat have Jordan.
So embarrassing.
They're so. You know what really made me mad about the Shams interview is how confident he seemed that they're going to get a big free agent in 2021.
Oh, yeah.
He seemed like the cult of Pat Riley, sniffing that culture. Either like Oladipo, Giannis, or Beal. Like, he seemed pretty certain about it.
Beal makes the most sense to me because they do have some assets to move. I think one thing people forget with Miami is a lot of their good young players and guys that broke onto the scene this year are old as shit. Like, Kendrick Nunn and Duncan Robinson are both 25.
Really? Like, I didn't even realize that. Yeah.
Yeah. They're the same age as Giannis. Like, those guys have been around for a while. They just hadn't broke through to the NBA. Yeah. But I mean, I can see it. I get the appeal of Miami. It is a glamour market.
Yeah. Who's getting Bradley Beal, right?
Who?
Who? Say it.
The Warriors.
No, I don't think so. Why?
I think easy. I think they are going to empty the war chest for him. Take this pick. They're going to take the Wolves.
You think
pick.
They're going to strike out on the other guys, and then
I don't think they're going to get Giannis.
Explain that though, because
who's the other guys other than Giannis? Am I missing someone?
No, not really. They're all in on Giannis. The Warriors.
Yeah, I think he's going
to
resign.
But why Beal to the Warriors? You think? Because that seems like an odd fit to me. Do they get rid of Clay?
No, they just use slide Clay to the three like they did at the beginning. Like they would, they were planning on the beginning of the year if he came back.
But what do they trade? Because my thing is,
Wiggins and you take any young players who have developed.
They don't have any. I guess who you draft, but their young talent sucks.
Yeah. It's like great. Eric Paschal and maybe the Minnesota
Eric Paschal is good. You have the Minnesota pick. You have their pick that very well might win the lottery. So you now have two first rounders. Maybe you throw an extra one on top of that. And
I like that Carter's derailing this podcast to talk about Beal to the Warriors.
I just think that makes sense.
Carter, Justin's usually the Warriors fan on this podcast.
I just think it makes the most sense. It's somewhere where Beal's gonna get fed up soon. He's gonna push his way out.
And he has to do it during the season or after the season because he can't be traded until the next season starts, I think.
You know what this is? Carter's pandering to all our Bucks fans, our loyal listeners like Numek and Ty. Like, I don't.
You guys have loyal Bucks fans? Oh,
we do have loyal Bucks fans.
We have a very small but passionate contingent.
Okay, that's good. I'm rooting for the. Who are you guys rooting to win the championship?
Lakers. You know what? Honestly, Lakers.
Lakers too. I was going to say the Bucks, but I'm not. I'm rooting for the Lakers.
I like the Bucks, and like I hope they make the finals.
Yeah.
Because the thing that I want to happen with the Bucks more than anything is for people to realize that Giannis has to get better still. Mm-hmm. Like that it's not just a matter of he needs more help. He needs a second star. Like there are deficiencies in his game right now. Just like there were with
shoot a jump shot, Carter. Yes, you're correct.
Just like there were with LeBron in 2009, 2010, where he was the best player in the world.
If Giannis was dating a Kardashian, they'd call him a coward for not shooting.
Like my point is, I don't want that. I want them to do well enough that that narrative of he needs more help maybe goes away.
Mm-hmm. What I want is a finals between Lakers and Bucks, because I think Giannis staying is good for the NBA. Like, I think player movement's gone a little out of hand.
Staying would be so good for the NBA.
And it would honestly, it would be like when it was Heat Thunder, where, okay, either KD or LeBron's getting a title. And I would have kind of, at that point, I was already kind of over the decision. I would have been happy with either outcome.
It would 2017, be Rowan would have told you to root for KD to win that final, so he would have won one and not had to go to Golden State.
But. Right, exactly. So it would be nice to have that matchup, because either LeBron gets his fourth ring or Giannis gets his first, and I think it's good for the NBA overall. I agree with Carter's sentiment, though, that it'd be nice to see it kind of go chalk, because I think we want to see those matchups. We want to see Lakers Clippers. I want to see the Bucks and Philly. I'd love to see Philly and Boston as well. I think there's a lot of really good matchups, and it's unfortunate the virus derailed what I think was going to be a very interesting playoffs, and still could be.
Well, we've talked about how the NBA was sort of bereft of narrative following the KD move to Golden State. Like, okay, they're gonna win, and then this year was the reset year where we got to have a playoffs with a fairly even playing field and develop these new stories that we're going to drive the next 5 to 7 years of NBA discourse and fandom. And I hope we can still kind of get that. Maybe it's too weird to do that, but like, we could use a legendary Lakers Clippers conference finals.
Yeah, 100%.
I think
the NBA, like, cause that's another thing I was thinking about. What are these ratings going to look like?
Amazing. They're going to be amazing, I think.
I don't think they're going to be amazing. I think the regular regular season, quote unquote regular season games are going to be kind of hit and miss, especially if they're on during the afternoon. I don't think the NBA cares about that, because Wendy was talking about this, just having those games and fulfilling the TV contracts is going to add $300 million to the NBA player salaries, basically. Yeah. So that's a huge deal, and they're just checking boxes at that point. I think it depends with the rest of the ratings, what the rest of the world's like. Because if a lot of places are still in some form of recommended isolation, people are going to be tuning into whatever's on TV. And especially if this thing goes well. I think if it starts falling apart where guys are getting sick and you're losing stars, people will lose interest. But if this turns into like a March Madness where it's constant action, they're always playing playoff games, guys are staying healthy, I think the ratings aren't good. They're going to be very good.
You just told me they weren't going to be very good.
Yeah, you just switched. You just talked yourself into Carter's take.
No.
My very reasonable take.
I don't think they're going to be insane. I was saying that the regular season ones are going to suck, and the playoffs have the potential to be good.
God, are we really picking nits like this?
Yeah.
I didn't say they were going to be insane. I said they were going to be very good.
We haven't podcasted in a week and a half. I want to disagree with you, okay?
Can we talk about a podcast thing real quick?
Because always.
You guys have such a great chemistry, but you find ways to keep it new and fresh. And I think that's very great to see, because you don't always see that. So I just wanted to, let you guys know that. But the podcasting game.
Well, it's weird because we've never met in person.
That sounds like you were setting up an ad read or something. And if you want to keep it new and fresh.
No, I'm just like,
FarmersOnly.com.
It's just like the podcast game, which what I've learned since doing this since November, I've barely been doing it, is there's so many ups and downs. And like, the feeling of keeping it fresh is so important, because you can get dragged down week by week. And like, I feel like you guys do a very good job of keeping it new, even when there hasn't been a Cavs game in 3 months. So it's just like,
I appreciate that. I mean, it's going to be weird because I mean, to pull back the curtain, we basically have 9 months here without Cavs yes, playing yes. games, which is crazy. We've basically already been through what a normal offseason would be without free agency, without the draft to talk about. The draft's in damn October. The lottery's in August. Like, we're going to obviously have to pivot a little bit and talk about the other games that are going on. But
yeah, I'm just talk about the Warriors. Well, no,
yeah exactly. Damn, apparently, that's all Carter wants to talk about. But yeah, it's interesting. It is funny, though, that Carter and I do seem to have good chemistry despite not meeting. When Chops, you and I have hung out in person.
That's the thing. Like, me and Adam, we people think we hate each other because our personalities are so different. Because
he's
Adam's
so been, New York. It cracks
He's so New York and so buttoned up. And he used to be a gossip columnist for the New York Daily News. Like, he's like the journalist. Right. Like the thing in his cap from Superman. Like, what's it? Billy Olson, whatever. Like, very buttoned up, and I'm just, like, very, you know, so it's very interesting.
You're very you.
I'm very me. You know, just, you know, I remember coming on this pod, 3 years ago and just telling all Warriors fans to go fuck themselves. So
that was a lot of fun. You were calling in through a tin can, and you were a little drunk, but it was still a lot of fun.
I was cutting promos like it was, like, the fucking wrestling, yeah.
After you said something really nice to us, I'd just like to say that I'm just really proud of you for figuring out how to plug in a mic.
I have a mic and everything. Yeah, it's so it's so funny. When this pandemic started, they're like, okay, we got to give you a mic and everything. I was like, okay. And then, I figured it out.
Yeah, you've lapped the hell out of us.
Wait, you guys have never met each other?
I didn't know. No, not once.
Me and Rowan had a New York night on the town.
Yeah,
well, Chops, I was supposed to go to New York for an event.
There was a pandemic, Carter.
Yeah, I know. We'll hang soon. You can teach me to like New York.
I hate New York. I'm not going to teach you to like New York. I hate New York.
That's fair. Justin,
you sound like every NBA free agent ever, but we don't know what's going to happen. It'll be interesting to see what the playoffs look like, who's actually involved, what the matchups are going to be. But no matter what the matchups look like, you know you're going to be able to bet on it with our sponsors at Bet Online. There is no shortage of action going on, and sports are slowly making their way back. BetOnline is the leading way to get the best odds and best lines for your UFC, NASCAR, boxing, and soccer matches. And if you need even more to bet on, they have simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC simulations all day, every day, live on their website. Looking for something other than sports to bet on? BetOnline has hundreds of casino games, poker tournaments, and prop bets to check out. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE for a free welcome bonus. That's one word, BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
This is the first time I didn't have any gripes with the BetOnline copy.
How about that?
No corrections, no notes. I've been pretty critical of them lately, Chops.
They've had the hot dog eating contest.
The hot dog eating contest has driven me crazy because we know it's not happening, Chops.
I don't want to keep bringing up the Shams episode and self-promoting myself.
Please promote yourself, man.
One very interesting thing. The only thing we talked
did he
about.
Have that, a, did he have a lot to say about the Nathan's hot dog eating contest? That's a real left field turn.
He did not. He did not, sadly. He did have a lot to talk about Brandon Ingram. Mm-hmm. And he didn't specifically mention the Cavs here, but he mentioned 4 or 5 teams will max out Brandon Ingram, like try and max him out. In my mind, just deductive reasoning, I would feel the Cavs are going to be one of those teams to try and do.
Right.
They're probably going to have to work to find some cap room somewhere.
Yeah, that's a good point. Dude.
That's a good point. I mean, the Drummond thing messed that up, right? But I still feel like that they would try and be in it, right?
Well, it seems like they have a pretty misguided understanding of where they are as a franchise right now, based on Bickerstaff's comments. Should we talk about those?
Let's circle back to the actual Cavs. I think people go a little too overboard when they read into that stuff. Like, that's what a coach is supposed to say. He wants his players to be motivated. He wants them to work towards winning, to build a winning culture. And even if you fall short, because if you're going to be putting so much on the shoulders of young players, you're always going to lose games. Those guys are not going to be ready to win next year, but you want them to at least be shooting for that. It's almost like when people freaked out because they were talking about, Bickerstaff said Kevin Porter Jr. might even play some point guard. All that means is he was going to initiate plays, and it worked out really damn well. I think people read a little bit too much in those comments, and it's basically people just looking for more reasons to get jokes off at the Cavs.
Maybe. I don't know, man.
I'm in the middle here because me and Justin tend to be optimistic when it comes to the Cavs. You and Zavac are like the most miserable Cavs fans I've ever met.
Also,
I mean that in the best way possible, Carter, because I love you.
It's important to have that posturing out there for trade positioning too, both with Andre Drummond and Kevin Love. You never want to be bargaining from a position of weakness, but we all know those guys are going to get traded.
Well, Sham said Love's not getting traded until that deal has 1 year left. He said nobody is taking that deal. Nobody.
Yeah,
he straight up said that. He said, I was like, was it not even close last year? He said it wasn't even close.
I don't remember the 1 year part. I thought he said when it was more manageable.
That to me meant 1 year though, right? Like,
I mean, he's got two starting next year, so.
Like a hurricane outside.
Is that what you're
looking back at? Because our Twitch feed keeps asking about what you keep looking
so,
back at.
So I'm on.
I see a monitor on his left there.
So my parents have a loft downtown Cleveland, and I'm in this room, and it has all these open windows, and there's like a balcony behind me, and like all the furniture is like going everywhere. So yeah, my bad to the Twitch comments. I'm just making sure I don't like fall out of a window.
I wouldn't apologize. I think Twitch is plenty happy to have something to distract themselves with in the chat for the duration of the pod. I do think that the Cavs, more than most teams in the non-contender category, have been hurt by the COVID situation because of the fact that the economics of the league, it's going to be much less palatable to take on one of these monster deals. Not only that, it's going to be much less palatable to go into the luxury tax in a sign and trade for a Tristan Thompson or an Andre Drummond. I do think they're kind of in a tough spot.
Drummond's opting in. There's no question in my mind.
But a trade and extend or something like that.
Yeah.
Here's one thing I'll say. I think it hurts their ability to trade Kevin Love. I do think it makes Andre Drummond a very attractive trade piece because I think Dan Gilbert's pretty fine financially here. And with Drummond as a $30 million expiring going into a fantastic free agency class when the salary cap is going down, teams are going to need to shed salary. So
that's
having
not a bad point.
So having
but
him
are teams going to want Andre Drummond?
Well, if
I don't
it's a,
think.
I've been mean to Andre. I like Andre. He came on the. I like Andre, but I just don't know if.
Well, here's the thing. If you're shedding salary,
he wants to shoot threes.
Yeah, but if you're saying, okay, I'm going to be able to clear up $30 million in cap space for this summer and Andre Drummond's my rental piece for 2 months or whatever, I can see a team doing that. Even if it was someone like the Knicks that's looking to clear up an extra spot, I can see teams going.
Yeah, maybe you buy it. Maybe you buy a mid-first rounder with it.
Right, right. So
I
can
take on some bad money.
I can see that, but keeping Kevin Love in because it's just going to be hard to get teams to take that money.
I feel like Kobe is like the worst negotiator ever. Like, can you not get guys to agree to trades? Like, what? Like, come on, buddy.
Hey, he's okay. He's been okay on the margins.
Last time he got a team to trade with us, it didn't work out too well with Kyrie.
So. He's made a lot of trades since.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was thinking more former All-Stars.
I just don't think this is the realm that we're dealing with.
We were talking about Giannis, and Shams is like, you don't trade him. Even if he tells Milwaukee he's going to leave, you don't trade him. He's like, you just don't trade stars like that. I was like, well, the Cavs do, but other teams don't.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, Kyrie was not a star like that.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Spicy?
Well, he's not a Giannis, LeBron, MVP candidate. E-caliber star.
Kyrie's stock was never higher than at that moment, though.
Yeah, and he was never close to a top five MVP candidate, let alone
he was also threatening
to
amputate his leg if he didn't get traded.
I love the turn on Kyrie. Usually I'm the one that's very
– Dude, that's not a turn. I'm very high on Kyrie's ability and skills.
Will Kyrie ever be as good as he was 2016, 2017?
Maybe the year after that first year in Boston, he was pretty good.
Yeah, I think the first year in Boston was his best individual season, and people gloss over that because they remember Boston doing well in the playoffs, but he was a big part of them being good in the regular season, and they probably make the finals if he's on the team during the playoffs. But then he just kind of detonated, and
here's a question. Yeah. My bad. Real quick, because we talk about jersey retirements. Will another team other than the Cavs retire Kyrie's jersey?
No.
No.
See, no, not unless him and KD make a couple finals.
Yeah, I guess that would be the case.
If they
have a ton of good history lately.
Mm-hmm.
If they won one in Brooklyn, I could see them retire.
Oh yeah, yeah, I agree. I there's too many health concerns there for me to feel like they're going to pull that off with any confidence. But yeah, it's speaking. I'm not too sure with Kyrie. It's. I think his best role was 2017 with LeBron. Like, I think he's really, really high end number two. And he was able to act as a number one. And there was some your turn, my turn, but that was a perfect fit. Like, I feel like he's a good fit with KD, but alongside LeBron, that's basically the ideal guard you want to have. So I don't know if he's ever going to have the same kind of team success. Like, I think 2017 is probably going to be the best team he ever plays for. But individually Boston, but I just don't know how you measure up those two.
No, probably not. I mean, either way, he was never a Giannis level player.
No, okay. I didn't say he was Giannis, but
well, that's what I just said. And you said I was turning on him.
Well, I mean, you were getting a little negative, but that's, but still the thing is, I tweeted out the Giannis thing last time. People were still not mentioned. Like, oh no, you have to trade him. You have to trade him.
No, you don't.
And then Warriors World was like, well, LeBron and KD got traded. That is different. That's signing and trading them after they're going somewhere. That doesn't count.
Yeah.
That doesn't count. Actually trading Giannis at like the trade deadline is what people are talking about. And I just don't see it happening because you're never going to get the value, even though.
And you know what? But if we're being frank, he's never going to tell you that he's leaving. I just don't think.
But
he's
you can
that
pick
kind
up the you can pick up the tea leave. We all know.
Yeah,
the
but that's
tea
different. That's so different than I'm not coming back. You know.
Well,
Milwaukee hasn't
had that level of a player since Kareem. I think those markets understand that you keep those guys for as long as you possibly.
Here's the difference is that a trade or a demand or an active statement tells your fan base and anyone following you that this is out of your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Reading the tea leaves is like, well, we thought he was going to go. But that's way harder to sell.
Here's my thing. Because with the tea leaves thing, deep down, you know, Heat fans knew LeBron was leaving. Cavs fans knew LeBron was leaving. So either like I don't know if
Heat fans knew. They're still no.
They
better.
Knew. They knew.
They
deep
can't
down.
Believe it happened. Still,
yeah.
Well, that's just because they're Heat fans. So either there's two ways to go about it. There's the LeBron way where you just kind of play vague, and then there's the AD way where you come out and say it.
Yeah.
I don't see Giannis going the AD way, but
I still
feel like there's a difference between. Like the tea leaves, but you have a good idea, you know, like mm-hmm. you're gonna know if they haven't won yet going into that, you're gonna know, you know.
Yeah, do we fair. Think he's leaving?
No,
I do. You guys think he's staying? You guys
think there's a very good chance he stays?
Why? I don't think there's any chance.
I think he stays if they make a finals. If not, I really do think Toronto's going to have a shot.
Shams, Woj, all of them are saying winning's the only thing that matters to him. If they don't win, then.
I think the draw of Masai and Siakam is a lot in Toronto. I think if they win, he stays.
If they win a title, he stays.
Finals, a finals gives them a shot. If they win, he stays. And from there, I don't know.
Carter, I can't believe you think he's just going to be like, yo, we haven't won anything in Milwaukee. Sign me up for 5 more years. I'm in, guys. Like, I don't see that at all.
I don't know, man. It's not like they're not coming close right now.
But close doesn't matter. How close are they really coming? They've been to the Eastern Conference Finals and they blew it. We'll see what they do this year. It's not like they've been that close.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Recent
NBA history says he's leaving, and I hope he proves us wrong because I think it'd be good for the NBA. But
just don't go to the Warriors. That's my only ask. Just don't go to the Warriors. Go
Else.
I think the KD blowback adjusted the narrative.
That's so different, though. KD was up 3-1 on that.
I'm aware.
I just feel like apples and oranges.
But that's the thing with Giannis is I don't know where he's going. I think Toronto is a pretty odd fit.
Didn't someone just say Toronto's behind some other two teams, and I think maybe Broussard's okay. Never mind.
Toronto's not Broussard,
so I'm not.
I mean, I don't even get how Golden State gets there.
Shams said the Lakers will be in on him.
My God,
what would stop him from? Why do you think they have his brother on the team?
Yeah, I don't think he'd go to the Lakers.
Why do you think he wouldn't go to the Lakers?
I just don't. I think that moves into the KD range.
Well
LeBron, we'll see. But LeBron will be like 60.
Yeah, until LeBron looks worse, the optics of that are bad.
I love that every time I try to bring this to the Cavs, Carter's like, no, I don't want to talk Cavs.
Let's talk. I'm just thrown. I'm just thrown by the fact that that you're so confident he's leaving. I just think he kind of seems like a different kind of dude. And
who are the Cavs drafting? Because every time I tweet, they should draft someone. People get really
Okongwu.
Yeah, it's
Okongwu's the USC guy. The USC guy.
Yeah.
I love that dude. I don't know what I'm talking about. But
I watched his interview with Gilbert Arenas. He had him on his pod, and it was really good. I like him a lot.
He seems to know what his role is. He's the only guy going in the top five that I'm very confident is going to be a top five player in this draft. Like, I think any of the guys could end up being the best player in the draft. But he's the only one that I feel like he has the upside and the floor. I just, like, as much as I like LaMelo, I don't feel confident in the Cavs' ability to develop three point guards at the same time. And let's say you go into next season, Colin Sexton has already kind of solidified himself as a quality NBA player. Like, being able to score like that at that efficiency at that age is a big deal. Let's say Darius Garland, after finally having an off season and an extended off season to develop his game, let's say he's better than LaMelo. Is LaMelo ever going to come off the bench? I feel like he's going to either cause a stink about coming off the bench, or they're going to be forced to start him, even though he's not the better option. Like, I think that's all possible. And I just think right now I want stability with the Cavs, and taking another guard is not a step in that direction.
Stability? You want stability with the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Listen, I don't ask for a lot. I want someone that plays defense. I want someone that plays defense, not someone that makes Sexton look like a good defender.
So who's the best defender in the draft?
That's
in that top five range.
I think
Okongwu seems to fit that bill.
Why do people not like this guy that I tweeted about from Denny? Why don't people?
Denny? I think people like him. I just think that they think his ceiling is not super high.
Zavac does not like him at all.
That's because he didn't shoot well in Europe, but the mechanics are good. It's kind of like a Jetty thing, where he didn't shoot super well. I'm pretty confident the Cavs are
super well now.
Yeah, well, Jetty.
I'm just fucking up. I know that's your guy. I'm just fucking.
Well, no. I think it's worth noting that the Cavs have actually done a good job developing jumpers with guys. Like, Colin Sexton didn't have a jumper coming in. Jetty didn't have a jumper coming in. Garrity's done a really good job there. So, Denny, I'd be fine with. Like, I'm not going to get super worked up out of any selection in this draft. Like, there's ones that I think aren't going to go super well. But I don't think
Who are they? Who are the ones you don't think are going to go super well?
I'm not a huge Anthony Edwards fan.
Okay,
dude, I'm kind of warming up to Edwards.
So I get it. He's a really good athlete.
But isn't he a point guard? Wouldn't that just be?
He's a two.
He's a two.
Tall is
he? Three-ish. 6'5".
6'4". 6'5". Sorry.
6'4".
Those are different.
I'll bet he's 6'4".
Those are different heights.
I'll bet he's 6'4". That would be my guess.
6'4" would be about my guess.
But we have Kevin Porter Jr. Is he better than Kevin Porter? Is he better than Kevin Porter Jr.?
So here's the thing.
Better prospect, probably.
I think Kevin
Porter Jr. is going to be really, really good.
Coming out of the draft, probably a better prospect.
If KPJ stayed in college, he'd go first overall in this draft.
Oh, my God.
Anthony Edwards, let's just call it what it is. He did nothing well in college. Like, I get it from an athletic standpoint, but he doesn't finish at the rim. He can't shoot. He doesn't play defense. He has as many turnovers as assists. Name me one player.
Carter, why do you like him after that?
Name me one player in college that did nothing well other than looking like an athlete that had to translate to the NBA. Like, he doesn't even
Paul George.
Defense.
There you go. Ooh, there we go.
No, you know, no, no. You know, Paul my George biggest, at least had better percentages than him.
You know, my
second
biggest knock
team all whack.
You know, my biggest knock on Anthony Edwards, his name. It's like Anthony Edwards is an old white dude from ER. Like, I can't have that guy be a player on my basketball team.
Listen, the last time we drafted an Anthony that didn't do things well in college, it did not work out well for the Cavs. So I don't want to go down
What about
guys, I have on the Twitch stream, I have highlights up.
Yeah.
And I gotta pull it back up. They have it's like a random scouting video from some like regular, you know, some bullshit YouTuber.
Yeah.
And there's strengths, size, strength, athleticism, shot creation, shooting potential. The last one, heart.
He's got heart, grit.
He's got heart. He's got Come grit. On.
He plays what, hard. Like
what he, about he, the what about
his
the
highlights
Dayton
are good.
Kid?
He just doesn't do anything consistently.
What about the Dayton kid?
Obi out.
Yeah.
Why?
Old.
Old doesn't play defense. Like,
does no one play defense in this draft?
Denny
does. Okongwu does.
Killian Hayes does. Okongwu. Denny plays defense. I think that there are guys that.
But defense is overrated and for nerds.
A little bit. But you.
Okoro. Kings OW just said that in the chat. Okoro also big defender. Same with Vassal. And Sadiq Bey. He's a defender, right?
Can he score?
No, he can't do anything else.
No.
So you guys want to take a guy with no offensive upside?
Chops, this
might... I don't want to take Okoro. Where are you hearing that?
This is the worst draft.
You guys
this is the worst draft pick since 2000. No, we were. We said he played defense.
People always say that this is the worst draft from
whatever.
No,
this is that bad. This is that bad.
They
last
don't,
year's
Chops.
Draft was awful. No, it wasn't.
It had a generational prospect.
Well, we're gonna pick six anyway, so it doesn't matter. But everybody's saying like the next three are gonna be really good though. The next three drafts.
Right.
Bro,
exactly.
The dream is to pick six because Okoro and Denny are just hanging. I'm sorry, Okongwu
Vassal.
Denny and Wait, Vassal all hanging out there.
Okoro and
You're thinking you didn't realize they were two different guys. That's
yeah. Okay, because that's what confused me. Because you guys, so who can play offense?
Okongwu's very good finisher. He's kind of like a pick and roll guy, but he understands his role. Like he's not going to start shooting threes and do the Drummond thing. He's kind of like Bam without a little bit of the playmaking. So I like that.
Okoro is Auburn, right?
He's Auburn.
Yeah, I've been doing mock drafts on the site, so I've memorized some guys' names. Okay, there we go. I'm back. We're back in it.
Yeah, it's just frustrating that there isn't any small forward in this draft. Like my biggest thing, Chops, honestly, is if we land at number one overall, I'm going to start calling teams to find out what we can get. Like you talked about
Nothing.
Brandon Ingram.
Who trades the number one pick in the NBA? It never happens.
It happens all the time.
Carter wins the last time. Carter wins the last
Markel
time.
Markel Fultz.
Number one? Was he number one?
Yes.
Chops, the Cavs traded two number one overall picks.
With him.
It happens all the time.
When did the Cavs trade two number one overall picks?
For Kevin Love, for fuck's sakes.
No. The number one pick. No, that doesn't count. They already drafted
Why him. Doesn't it count?
That doesn't count because LeBron was here. That doesn't count. When bad teams with no superstars don't trade the number one overall pick.
We already know Griff was trying to get that trade done before LeBron even committed, man.
Oh, yeah, sure he was.
All right. Here's the thing.
Yeah, Kevin Love was coming. He loves it here so much. He was coming.
If you could package that pick with Love, and let's say you get a sign and trade done with Brandon Ingram, like that would be something I do because that's a young player that fits the timeline.
I didn't know Brandon Ingram's only 22 years old. When I heard that, I'm like, sign me up immediately.
Dude, like that would be exactly the type of thing that I'd be looking at because you're getting off the Kevin Love deal. You're getting a young player. Just listen to offers. Listen to offers. See if you could trade back. That would be my thing if you're getting the number one pick. Either
more,
trade back
Mort's really going to have to eat crow for calling Brandon Ingram the Black Robert Swift.
He said that?
He did on a podcast. Yeah.
When did he say that? Ingram had a really good year.
It was like two, three years ago, after his rookie year. Okay. when he wasn't looking very good. No, I mean, he's awesome.
I mean, I didn't think he was – like, he's looked awesome on the Pelicans. Like, I think
him and Tatum took big leaps this year, and both Ooh. Have turned into really, really good players.
Jason Tatum?
Yeah.
Okay. Jeffrey Tatum.
Yeah, my guy Jeff.
I should watch more NBA.
So forget just who the Cavs are going to draft. What are your expectations with the guys they've already drafted? Like out of Garland, KPJ, Sexton, how are you feeling about the
why does everybody hate Darius Garland? Like people like he is it not enough to look like you can like Carter hates Darius Garland. Is it not enough?
Who? Me?
Yeah, is it not enough to like look like you can play basketball?
When did he do that?
Oh
like
my
his
God.
Jumper looks great. Like every
passing's better than advertised.
Yeah, let's look at you guys got mad because Sexton's shot looked ugly. You got mad because Garland's shot looks great. Can we give a consensus?
That's why I'm mad.
You know what? Honestly, like
that's why. Ah, his shot looks too good. Fuck.
So the
it just didn't, Carter. Sometimes it doesn't go in.
If he's not producing by the trade deadline next year, I'm going to have some kind of concern. Like part of what sucks about this season getting canceled the time it did, Sexton's rookie year, he was terrible for the first half of the season. And after the trade deadline, that post all-star stretch, that's when you started to get some optimism. You saw him kind of get a little bit comfortable. We didn't get that stretch with Garland or Kevin Porter Jr. That's depressing. Like I would love
Porter Jr. still showed more during the season though. He showed like, oh, there's some flashes here.
He's the highest upside guy on the team, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not done talking about Darius Garland.
Okay.
What, you don't like him. What do you want me to say?
About not liking him. It's trying to be balanced of finding the good stuff and balancing with the fact that if this dude was putting up these lines on any other team, we would be clowning him.
So my single reason for liking him is that when he's out on the basketball court, he like his shot looks cool and he passes the ball. I don't know what else do you want.
He fits must the be archetype a of a modern point
guard. Trying to actually evaluate what's going on.
Yeah, you're a total dick for that.
Yeah, I think you should apologize to Darius Garland in clutch right now.
Listen, I want him to
see. That's the thing. Carter doesn't believe in the clutch. There. He doesn't believe in clutch did like you, Thompson.
I. What,
I'm not a mouthpiece.
How mad were you that Shams didn't answer my question about who would Rich text back first, him or Woj?
You asked him that. That's amazing.
Well, I pitched him a real world style show in Orlando. They share a suite in the bubble, and we have cameras, confessionals, all this, and we have them do challenges. One of the challenges would be text Rich.
Adam pointed out correctly that show would just be a camera on two guys on their phones.
That's not the best show.
No.
You guys, Chops,
honestly, the better question would be who would text you back first, Rich or Shams? Like, you should have asked Shams that.
I don't have Shams' number.
Ah, there you go. Well, you should have got it.
That's such a bullshit flex behavior. Oh, I don't have Shams' number. Subtext, I have Rich's.
I mean, I was the first person to profile the guy.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying that is true. That's not a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Carter, will you
apologize to Rich Paul and his client Darius Garland?
I won't, because I still think Darius can become a positive NBA player and maybe even a great player.
Who do you feel better about, Sexton or Garland?
Oh man, that's actually really hard. That's a good question, because on one hand,
because it calls out your guys' bullshit about Sexton, not you, Carter, but just everybody's bullshit about Sexton.
No, because I don't think Sexton's ceiling's very high. That's the discussion.
But he puts up, but he's productive.
I guess the question is for me is I'm much more confident in Sexton becoming a 6.5, 7 out of 10 player. I don't think there's a chance he can get to 10 or a 9. So Garland maybe could get to a 9.
What I'm just saying here is people knock Sexton for how he plays,
mm-hmm.
but he's productive. Yeah. Garland looks like he could be something, but he's not productive yet. People hold the same things, different things against both of them. Like, what? Can't we just keep it even playing?
This is the weirdest tack to take. Here's the thing.
Welcome. Like Sexton right now, I feel like he has the highest floor out of the young Cavs. Like being able to score at that efficiency at that age, that he's guaranteed to have a long NBA career. You can have him come off the bench for any team, whether or not he commits to his defensive potential, which I think he has real upside on that size with his frame, his wingspan. If he commits to his defensive potential, that's one of the better combo guards in the league if he's scoring at that rate. Garland, I agree with what Chops is saying. Garland looks like he can fit on any team. Maybe it's just as a bench player, a guy that kind of gets you into your sets, but you can see the upside with him. Like it reminds me, and I joke about it comparing him to Kemba Walker, but it reminds me of Kemba, where it's, all right, this guy's got a feel for the game early on in his career. He just needs to add strength. He needs to add confidence. And he's younger than Walker was coming into the NBA. He didn't have an offseason at all. He wasn't even healthy for training camp. He's coming off surgery, basically lost weight in that rehab process. So to me, I think both are going to work out. I'm really happy with the Cavs picks lately. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Carter, that's all I'm saying, buddy. I'm just saying, let's give them all a fair shot, buddy.
Yeah, I'm definitely doing that. I just don't think they're that good right now.
All right.
And so I'm allowed. Because I'm right. Because I'm objectively
gonna
relieve you more of your right
duties.
Than you.
Carter, I'm going to relieve you of your duties because you just messaged me. I can hear the baby screaming in the background. Jops and I, we'll touch on Tristan and then we'll wrap this thing up. So
We can't do that. We're on Twitch, you damn fool. What are you talking about?
Carter, I feel like I'm on your parenting journey with you.
All right.
Well, that's good. I post a lot about it. I'm sure people are sick
of seeing it. Can we talk about Zavac just like trying to snitch? I'm not even involved in whatever he was talking about. I don't know what he was talking about with that.
When he roasted me for posting so many pictures?
Yeah, and then he was just like, I talked about it with Chops all the time. I'm like, what are you talking about?
All I know is him saying that sent me into such a spiral, bro, of like, this is a topic of conversation.
It's not. I will say I was scrolling my feed that Tuesday and the only non-black that I saw was your kid.
I didn't
and
know.
I'm sorry to laugh. I'm sorry to laugh.
But it was funny because I then tweeted the joke and I had like 8 people message me publicly and privately. Hey, do you keep doing what you're doing, pal? I'm like, I was kind of joking.
Oh my God.
I laughed so hard because we're on a podcast.
I didn't know. I didn't see the memo.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, we'll wrap this up then. I thought I could do Carter a solid, but apparently I can't. Chomp's prediction, Tristan's done with the Cavs, right?
Yeah. His Lakers jersey's probably in a bag somewhere.
Okay. Oh, no. Well, I'm okay with that. That's not so sad.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, his Lakers, he's going to be on a contender next year for sure.
Hashtag clutch. Yeah. Chris Fedor mentioned that if he couldn't get on a contender, he'd sign a 1 year with the Cavs or,
I'd love for him to be back. He's a great.
Would love to have him back. He's pretty much whatever number. I don't give a shit. There.
If we didn't have Drummond on the team, he'd be a perfect mentor for someone like Okongwu. Like I'd be all over that. But you know what? Things are a little bit complicated. Hopefully, Kobe Altman can straighten things out, and we're going to have a shit ton of time to talk about all of that. and Chops, we'll have to have you back on because we.
I have nothing to do.
Carter has derailed this too many times. We haven't got to all the talking points, but you know what?
But we had a lot of fun. I'll say this. I'm going to derail one more time before you wrap. This is a great Chops podcast because no one is better at shooting the shit about random things on tangents with no structure. Like these are Chops pods.
I love it.
And that's what we do when you come on.
That's the worst part about hosting a podcast is they're like, you have to stay structured. And I try, I really do. Mm-hmm. But like I asked Shams about 90 million NBA questions. I was like, I'm asking you everything that I can think of, buddy.
Yeah, you talked about every single free agent.
I had a list, and I was going through everybody. And then I was like, did I forget anybody?
Chops just sitting there like, Jakob Poeltl, what are your thoughts?
What'd you say, Carter?
You're just inherently fun to bullshit with, so I couldn't help but derail us.
I love coming on.
Before we go, what's your favorite bird? The chat would like to know. Do you have any bird takes?
You and Justin?
That what? All right.
This just reminds me of the Ave tweet. Your man's a
He's
bird.
Good, by the way. I talked to him. I talked to him recently. Av is good.
Okay. I'm happy to hear that. Yeah. That's great.
He said the Cavs are fucked, but he's good.
Ah, well, you know. So that's that's already what we knew outside of him being good. So that's good to hear. Everybody listening, support Chops. Support our buddy Chops. Check out the Load Management Podcast. Subscribe to it. Go support it. Leave a review. And if you want to support our podcast, do the same thing. Leave a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. And if you want to be part of our exclusive Discord chat, send us a screenshot of your review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. We appreciate all your support. We hope you guys are staying safe. And until next time, go Cavs.